Good to see Elder Brother and Sister Snow here this evening as well. Glad for your pastor and the church here, and Sister Tanya and all the good folks here at the Church of Kilgore. And special thanks to them. I appreciate all the nice things you've done for me since I've been here. And back there in that basket that you all had made for me, I was really needing a few good pair of socks. I really appreciate y'all throwing a couple pair of socks in there for me, because I was really needing them. As a matter of fact, I put them on tonight. I was getting low on socks. And so I had been up at my sister's up at Oklahoma, and had her hired her to do some laundry for me, you know. And I don't know if she just wanted to get back at me. It seems like there may be a little bit of roar up here on this microphone. But I don't know if she wanted to get back at me or not. And she had dyed all of my black socks, had threw it in there with some other odd color. And so I had to kind of toss them other socks out, or just look like a clown coming to church, one or the other. And so, boy, I was glad to see them socks there in that basket. Thank you so much for your giving. I feel like that fellow back in Kentucky, he was thanking the folks for the offering. He said, "Folks, I sure do appreciate it. I don't need it, but the people I owe want it awful bad." If you have your Bibles this evening, let's go to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs, the 7th chapter. I preached about doors these past couple nights that we've had here, but I felt a burden all day long today to go a different direction. I don't know everybody here tonight. We've got some new faces. Thank you for coming. But I ask you to be responsive and open to the Word of God this evening. In the book of Proverbs, the 7th chapter, kind of an extensive reading. Proverbs chapter 7 and verse number 6. "For at the window of my house I looked through my casement, and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot and subtle of heart. She is loud and stubborn, her feet abide not in her house. Now is she without, now in the streets, and lieth and wait at every corner. So she caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him, 'I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows. Therefore I came forth to thee to meet thee diligently, to seek thy face, and I have found thee. I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works, with fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamons.'" Verse 19. "For the goodman is not at home. He is gone on a long journey. He hath taken a bag of money with him, and will come home at the day appointed. With her much fair speech she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips she forced him. He goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks." Verse 26. "For she hath cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death." I'd like to preach this evening on "From Hedges to Hell." Let's pray. Father, I thank you for everybody that made it in the house of God this evening. But God, more than anything, I felt you laid these scriptures on my heart this morning. God, I pray that you have mercy to some sinner in this building this evening. And God, let the grace and the blood of Jesus Christ cover us from head to toe. In the name of Jesus, we ask it. And the congregation says, amen. Thank you for standing for the reading of the Word of the Lord. This author here of Proverbs is looking out his window one day. And as he's looking out the window this afternoon day, things start beginning to happen, and he sees a vision of a young man that had left the place of safety and had left his house and was just passing through the street just like any other day. But this day was different now. The twilight had set in. The black and darkened night had came in. And he was passing just through the street. But there was something that was waiting for him around every single corner. And I tell us this evening that there is something that is waiting for you around every corner. There is an enemy of the soul that has you targeted, sir. That has you targeted, ma'am. That has you in the crosshairs. And you are the bullseye of this enemy that is out after you and your house right now. And this enemy of the soul will not stop until he has you in conversation, just like this harlot had this young man started in a conversation. She had even told him, "This day I have been to church. I have made peace offerings. I have paid my vows." You realize that the enemy of your soul will cause those things which are wrong to be right in your eyes. He will cause those things that you think that there's something terribly wrong with it. But when the enemy gets done with that, he will have you so convinced that what is wrong is now right. From hedges to hell. From hedges to hell. From the place of safety, going down the street, but heading to the chambers of death and the pathway in to hell. I'd like to ask the church this evening a question. Is there a hell? Amen. Let me ask it again, and you search your heart. I want to ask you, do you really believe, without a shadow of a doubt, that there is a literal hell? Amen. If we believed that 100% that there is a hell, and that when men and women die, that they will go there, it would give you such a scare that you would quit doing those little things that you're doing behind closed doors. This is totally different than the way I've been preaching these past few nights. But I can feel the Lord already walking through these aisles and talking to you. God is departed and answers no more. Forever closed is mercy's door. And now in hell my bed I make, because my God I did forsake. He called me oft, he called me long, but I preferred the dance and the song. I scorned his love so full and free, and set a myth was Calvary's tree. I ran along at a maddening pace, burning each day God's saving grace, until at last death sounded its trumpet, and away I woke into the flames of hell I now trod. I thought perchance that there would be some friends, but oh my God, there's only things. Not a smile or a word of cheer I hear, only the screams of horror and fear. Remorse, remorse! What a terrible thing to remember how mother sang. But now for me there'll be no song. Eternity, eternity, all day long. And we think that coming to church is just a game. Whenever there is a hell that awaits you right around the corner. Do you think there's a hell? If you really believe that there was a hell, you wouldn't be a talking and a snickering and a laughing this evening about somebody that's going to hell. I want to ask you, maybe with a show of hands, do you know some person that died in your lifetime and you know they didn't go to heaven, but they went to hell? Does anybody know anybody like that? Let me tell you about a situation that I run into. I had knew this person from youth up, been with this person many times, raised in the house of God, right on a church pew, right in the hedge of the house of God, right in the church. Instead, they was just like this young man that we read about in Proverbs, that was void of understanding. That doesn't mean that he was dumb. That just means he was not knowing. And him not being knowing anything and just void of understanding left the house of God, got away from God, until one night at 17 years old, his parents that bought him a brand new Chevrolet Camaro and had handed him the keys to a brand new car had got to drinking for the first time in his life and wrapped that thing around a telephone pole, going down Kentucky Highway 15 and went to hell. I went to his funeral, and I'll never forget, I got there 2 hours early before the funeral started to find a seat, Brother Snow. And I walked up there to view the body, and that grandmother that had been a saint of God for many years was weeping uncontrollably over the body of that boy and crying out, "Oh God, oh God, please have mercy." But it was too late now. Hell awaits you around the corner this evening. In Louisville, Kentucky, years back, a boy was working next to a propane tank that had caught fire and went ablaze. This young man being tormented in a flame. When the authorities got there to where he was at, he was literally in so much pain and torment that he was pulling out the hairs of his head, shouting at that officer as they were trying to pour something to ease his pain on top of him. "Please shoot me and put me out of this misery. Please shoot me." That boy went into eternity and went to hell. And I tell you, there is such a place. There is such a place that is called hell, where the flame never goes out, where the worm dieth not, and men and women are in torment day and night. There is a place that awaits you, young man, this evening, that is called hell. I tell you, there, if we could open our eyes in the spirit tonight, you would see that hell awaits you around every corner. If you could open your eyes and look down into the world below us, that there is a hell, and that there is men and women there, and that they scream in torment all day and all night, but never feel a sigh of relief, you would stop that illicit affair right now. If you realized that there is a real hell, you would stop looking at pornography every night. If you realized that there was a real hell, you wouldn't put your children in such an atmosphere.
atmosphere what leads them to the path of her house, into the chambers of death, and into hell.
Hell. Hell. Oh, God. God, have mercy on somebody tonight. It's going the path of her corner. And they're going to hell. Hell is disintegration. It is the eternal loss of being a real person. In hell, the greatest athlete that's ever walked on a basketball court will never be able to shoot a ball in hell. The man who lived for sexual pleasure goes into eternal lust with nobody to exploit. That is hell. A woman that has 1,000 dresses and somebody in the beauty of their youth goes to hell, and they are burnt up with 1,000 dresses but has no mirror to look at in hell. Bear with me this evening as I feel God still talking to somebody in this house tonight. I don't know who you are or where you come from, but hell's awaiting for you. I don't know where you've been, but there's a hell that's waiting for you. I don't know why some things happen the way they happen, but there's a hell that's waiting for you. In 1976, Brother Snow would remember my Uncle Gene Huff. He went to Columbus, Ohio in 1976 to preach a meeting. Never forget Brother Huff telling this story. In the Columbus Times, there was a write-up in that paper of an 11-year-old girl that had walked out of the house of God and was walking through the street, innocent, just like this boy that we read about tonight, void of understanding, was picked up by sexual predators on a road after they had totally ravaged her body. Threw it back outside. She was still alive. She would wave her hand, waving for cars to come by and help her. But they all passed by. For 2 hours, she was screaming, "Somebody help me!" And nobody stopped to help her until some other predator came and picked her up. After experiencing that horrible experience a second time, killed her and threw her into the river. There's a hell for people like that. There's a hell for people like that. But more so this evening. Yeah, you may be innocent as just a young person, but unless you have the blood of Jesus Christ, you're gonna go to hell. Let me talk to us about a hedge. What is a hedge? A hedge is like a fortress. A hedge is like a fortress that surrounds our lives. It is an invisible fortress that surrounds us that we cannot see, but yet we are protected by God and by God's angels and by God's hand of protection. One such protection that God gives to us is the hedges of the Word of God. Aren't you glad, church, for the real Word of God? Jeremiah would preach the Word of God, and he becomes so burdened at the way the people was acting that they would hear the Word of God but would not live by it. And he cried out every day and every night. You know what this revival is about tonight, and what this church is built here for this purpose? It's somebody that's a crying out for your soul, man. It's somebody that's a crying out, "God, have mercy on this city.
God have mercy on your soul. The Bible is a hedge. Why do we preach holy living? Because the Word of God is a hedge. It'll keep you out of the wrong places. It'll keep you out of hell. I say we need to stay within the hedge of the Word of God.
The hedge of the Scriptures. Not only the hedge of the Scriptures, but the hedges of the church. The church has power in a community, as a city that is set up on a hill, as a light in darkness. The church is a hedge of protection. But listen to my warning tonight, and the warning is this. You may have been picked up on the bus and brought to this church, and we're glad that you're here. You may have even been to many churches here in this county or this town and have attended church regularly, but that doesn't save you. The church does not have power to save your soul from hell. Just by your name being put on a church roster doesn't mean that you're going to make it out of hell into heaven, but rather you have got to have the precious blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, that cleanses us from all sin, from all unrighteousness. It's the blood, brother, that keeps us from hell. The hedge of the Bible and the Scriptures. The hedge of the church. Even was it Jesus that said, God has given you Moses, has given you the prophets, but you would still not hear what God was really saying to you. God has given us churches, and as just on my short visit here in this town, I've already counted 8 churches within a 5-mile radius. God has given churches. I don't know what kind of stuff they're preaching down at the other churches, but I know what this church stands for, and I know what they believe. God's given us churches all over the place, and it seems to me like that the world is getting churchy and the churches are getting worldly. But I'm going to tell you, if you don't repent of your sins, unless you be born again, you're going to hell. You'll go to hell. Notice how she came to him. Now she is without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. She caught him, and she kissed him. She caught him, and she kissed him. This must be a nice person. They show us a lot of love. You better watch what house you're entering into. You better watch the associations that you're hanging out with. She caught him, and this is what she said. Today I've even made my peace offerings. I've made my vows to God. And the goodman of the house, he's gone on a long journey. He's even taken the money. He won't be back for some time. And notice the bait that she tries to throw out there to the young and innocent man that the writer of Proverbs is beholding through his window. He hears all this going on and sees it all going on. And she's saying to this young, innocent boy, this illicit sexual relationship that we're about to enter into is okay. A little bit quiet, and this is different from the way I'm preaching. But can I tell you, if you're sitting on this church pew tonight and you're in some kind of adulterous affair, you'll go to hell. If you're sitting here tonight and you fornicate around all the time, sir or ma'am, you'll go to hell. You'll go to hell. The thing about it, she tries to sway this boy into thinking that that which is wrong is right. Just because so-and-so says it's okay, doesn't mean it's okay. Bring it back to
to the book. And what the book says, it means what it says, and it says what it means. I don't care who told you, it's all right. If God's word stands against it, that means it's wrong. If God still hates sin and is angry with the wicked every day, that means that sin that you're involved with, God still hates it. Glory to God. I don't come here to preach hard to you tonight. I just come to tell you, God hates sin. God don't like sin. God don't put up with sin. And if you keep sinning, you're going to go where sinners go, and that's to hell. Let me talk a little bit farther here. Not only is she baiting this young man into thinking that which is wrong is right, but this is what kills me the most, Brother Snow. This is what really gets to me the most. The Bible said in verse 22, he goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter. You don't even realize. You're not even aware. Your eyes are totally blind. You can't even see the problems that this is going to cause. But you're heading as a fool heads. And the Bible said you're going to die. Abner, as a fool dieth. You're heading like an ox to its slaughter. I'm going to tell you though, there's a hedge. Is this thing working? Turn me up on this mic right here. There's a hedge that we read about in the Bible. It's called the hedge of Calvary that stands between you and hell. I'm going to tell you, come to Calvary. Get under the blood of the Lamb. It's time to wake up. Stop being naive. Turn your eyes on and look to Calvary and live. Somebody shout amen. Lift your hands all over the house. I need God to help me tonight. Oh God. Oh God of heaven. He goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of stocks. Till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. You realize this evening that the enemy is out after your life. He's out after your life, and you don't even know it, and you won't turn the television off long enough to listen to what the man of God's saying. You won't stop looking at things on the internet enough to figure out that this is totally destroying my mind. Every time you look at that, sir, it's totally destroying your mind. Every time, ma'am, that you send that person a text message that you ought not to be sending to, you realize that's destroying your mind, and you're leaving a hedge and you're going straight to hell. Oh God. Oh God. From the hedge of protection, from the church that's praying for you, from the pastor that loves you, from the church that sings the songs of Zion, from the Bible studies, from the Sunday school class, and you walk out of the church and you're going straight into hell. Let me tell you what happened in Richlands, Virginia, about 1995. Brother Neil Bridges had preached that camp meeting there for years. He had took a text one night. Nobody could preach on hell as good as Brother Neil can, in my opinion. Brother Neil's a powerful preacher when it comes to preaching on hell and winning the lost.
Brother Neil had taken a text on hell that night. He had laid a couple brothers that had been fasting most of that day at every door of the church, right here, the back door, and another door over here at the side. Every exit on both sides of the church, you couldn't get out unless you crossed over these men that had been praying all day for God to save somebody. Let me tell you what happened. Brother Neil had preached that as crossing the bloodline. And when you take that step, you cross over the prayers of the saints, and you're headed for hell. There was a cousin there to the Hortons, a fellow by the name of Major Whited. If I have the story correct, somebody can correct me later if I'm wrong. Major Whited was a pretty wealthy guy. He had never even touched his bank account. He had a little store that he had ran that paid his bills and the money that he needed and the food that he had. He had a little store there, and then he worked at the mines, and every check that he got deposited into the bank. And from what I know, Major Whited never took a penny out of his bank account from the time he started working until the day of his death. But there came a time when Major Whited's money was no good, and that bank account was no good at all. Brother Neil had preached that night, and I can remember Brother Snow as I was just a little boy, about 5 or 6 years old. Them fellas are laying at the back of that church, and Brother Neil's standing up behind the holy desk of God and preaching to them people, don't cross the blood of Jesus Christ. Stop, sinner, where you're at. Stop! Instead, Major White had got up, walked out, and took that step across those men. And 2 weeks later, he died and went to hell. This is serious business that I'm talking to you tonight about. Because I'm going to tell you, there's a hell that is right outside of the hedge of this church tonight. Oh God, help us in this place this evening. There's a hell that awaits you. And if you don't stop the sinning that you're in, and if you was to die, you're going like an ox to his death and a sheep to his slaughter, and you won't even know what hit you, but you'll wake up in torment, and you'll remember there was a Friday night about 8:30 in the evening somewhere in East Texas in the city of Kilgore that some fella came from Kentucky and told him, you better stop sinning, for sinners go to hell. But stay in the hedge of protection. And one moment in hell, you'll look back with regret and remorse and say, I wish, but your wishes will never be answered. For now, you're in a reality that burns day and night. You're in hell, where a prayer's never answered, where a prayer's never heard, where God's not at, where you just separated yourself from the church. In hell forever. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Father, I thank you for this congregation tonight. Oh, God, I feel your spirit moving around this house this evening. God, I feel the convicting power of the Holy Ghost walking down these aisles tonight. God, if there be a sinner in this building, you constrain them right now and cause them to come down to this altar right now and ask God to forgive their sins and let the blood of Jesus Christ cleanse them from all unrighteousness. Well, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. It's quiet in this house tonight. It's just like I figured it would be. I'm looking for somebody here this evening, and you know exactly who you are. You're a sinner. And if you're to leave this building tonight and you're to pass down that corner, you're going to go straight to hell. That's it. Come right on. Come right on. If you're to leave this building tonight, you're going to go straight to hell. They're coming. They're coming. If you're to leave this building tonight, go back and carry on some kind of illicit relationship, and then a car wreck happens, you'll go to hell. But right now is a time where there's a hedge called Calvary, and Jesus Christ stands with outstretched arms and with the hand of mercy and a heart full of love that says, stop, sinner. Stop right where you're at and come to me, and I'll forgive you, and you don't have to go to hell. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. As they begin to sing, as they begin to play and sing, we've got folks in this altar this evening, but I'm still a pulling for somebody tonight. I'm still pulling for somebody tonight. You know who you are. You got things in your life that ain't under the blood. You come right now. You come right now. Oh, God, help us.
Oh, hallelujah. Stand together with me, church.
Just when it happened.
Oh, God.
You really can't say.
This brother preached to us tonight with a burden.
What caught your eye?
You got something in your heart that's not right with God. Somebody's already broke the ice for you tonight. The altar's already full. You're not going to be alone. Why don't you step on out too? Why don't you come home and seek the Lord tonight? Church, we need to pray for these that have come. We need to pray for these that have come.
Jesus is calling.
That the Lord will do His work.
You back home.
He said it right. A church can't save us. We can't save ourselves. A church can't
save. It doesn't matter.
But God's got His arms open up tonight to us. We need to pray for these that have come. No matter if you know or not. Let's pray for these. Hallelujah.
Oh, Jesus is calling.
As they seek the Lord tonight.
You back home.
Thank you, Jesus.
You
oh, God. I
want
to go to hell. Simply, Lord, I don't want to go to hell. There's nothing worth going to hell.
How long you've been gone?
There's no money, no
Jesus
job, no relationship.
Calling you home.
Oh, God, seek the Lord
Jesus
tonight, young
is
people.
Calling you
seek
back
the Lord
home.
Tonight, young people.
You've been away.
The Lord is the one that can
from
do the
His
work.
Presence too long. It doesn't matter. I'm done wrong. Jesus is calling you home. Oh, His grace runs deeper than all of your sin, and He wants you to know that you're precious to Him. It doesn't matter what you have done wrong. He only wants you back home. Jesus is calling you back home. You've been away from His presence too long, and it doesn't matter how long you've been gone. Wants you back home. Oh, Jesus is calling you back home. You've been away from His presence too long. It doesn't matter what you have done wrong. Jesus is is calling you back home. You've been away from His presence too long. It doesn't matter what you have done wrong. He only wants you back home. Jesus is calling His presence too long. It really doesn't matter just how long you've been gone. tonight, Jesus is calling you home. Just when it happened, you really couldn't say what it was that caught your eye and pulled you away. All that you know is now you're alone. Jesus is calling you home. Jesus is calling you back home. From His presence too long. It doesn't matter what you've done wrong. Jesus is calling you home. Doesn't matter what you've done wrong. He only wants you back home. His grace runs deeper than all of your sin. He wants you to know that you're precious to Him. He doesn't care how long you've been gone. Tonight He's only calling you home. Jesus is calling you back home. You've been away from His presence too long. It doesn't matter what you've done wrong. He only wants you. Forgiven when mercy walked in. Oh, mercy walked in, pleaded my case. Then He called to the stand. God saving grace, the blood was presented, that covered.